So welcome back to the Real God for Real People podcast, where we talk about a real God and how he desires to interact in our everyday lives. So guys, it's been a while, and I want to start off by saying I apologize. Life has been utterly crazy, but God has been faithful. And I kind of wanted to have a getting back to going podcast about that. So forgive the background if you're looking at it on video. Still trying to get a little area staged up that's going to kind of be an area where I can record some video and an area where I can do some personal fitness because it's important to me. But in a high level, about 3 months ago, I got some news. I think I'll keep this as short as I can. I came to understanding, right? Man, that's the best way of putting it, that my family's life was about to change, right? Not drastically, but pretty rapidly, I think is the best way to put it, right? And one of the things that kind of helped me gain that understanding was just understanding what a closed door looked like. I had been a part of a ministry for a period of time, and I'm going to specifically try to not use names. And I realized, man, it's not working. It's not the best fit. There's a few other opportunities that the Lord's kind of given me an open door to walk through, and I just had to be willing to take the gambit and jump through them. But if anybody's been in a relationship or you've been in a friendship, right, with people, sometimes those things can get a little messy. Sometimes they can get a little difficult to process and handle. And what I realized, man, is this transition was going to be really tough for me and my family, right? And so my name is Shoddy Shah, by the way. I host this podcast, Real God for Real People. And what I was grateful for in this time frame was that the Lord gave me an opportunity to seek biblical counseling really early in this process, before I even knew that this certain ministerial door was closing. And when I got to seek the biblical counseling, a phrase that my counselor used that has stuck with me for the last gotta be 8 months was, hey, being okay in my own private life, saying, man, it's not all good. It made me think of this song. I think it's by We Are Messengers, and it's kind of called Not Okay, right? Some of the songs I grew up with, songs kind of like by Marvin Winans, that just say, I feel like going on. There was even this song by, I think it's Maverick City Music and Chandler Moore, that had been playing on my playlist, guys, for at least 4 months, called Lead Me On. Right. And I did not even know fully until maybe about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I didn't know fully why this song was resonating so much for me, guys. But it was, because it was the Lord trying to shape and prepare my heart to understand that I was going to have to trust him in a way that I did not think in this season I was going to trust him again. So I'm going to pause real quick, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it, but for now, because I'm still in the healing phase, I'm not going to go into every detail. One, because it may not be helpful for others. And two, I want to protect the ministry I was a part of with the best of my abilities. All right, so stay with us, and we're going to jump back into it. So welcome back. So excuse me, guys, hands a little cold in the area I'm working through. But what I have been processing through for a long time is, man, what does an closed door actually look like, right? And also, with a closed door, how do we move gracefully when the Lord tells us no? Or when the Lord tells us, hey, not yet, or when he just is trying to instruct us, man, I'm preparing you for something, but it's kind of like this transition period that's going to hurt. You know how they speak about diamonds, they need to undergo some type of pressure from that coal stage to the stage in which they are actually producing what we see on a ring. And what I came to realize is if we look at the scriptures really well, we don't see Jesus ever promising his disciples, the believers in the faith. He never promises us that things are going to be easy. He never promises that things will go our way. He actually literally promises us inconvenience. He promises us new citizenship in him, which means that we're going to now leave the citizenship of the groups we were a part of before. But none of this is comforting. He literally promises suffering. Now, in an American state, will I say at any time this transition was suffering? No, but will I say it hurt? Yeah. There's a period of time during the transition where I literally had to make a decision to just endure, right, what was going on around me, because there was time frames where this deep, not just disappointment, but even to a degree depression was on me. I had friends that were like, yo, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I had friends that were like, yo, what's really going on? I'm like, hey, it's really not meant to be shared. Even if I share, it's not really going to be edifying to the body. It's not going to make things simpler. But what I had to learn is that even in the midst of things going terribly wrong, God's still present. He still cares. He still loves. His love endures, as the old writers would say, forever. But if I really think about it, man, you don't understand what faith looks like until you're tried, until you have disagreements with those that are close to you, until really things just don't go according to plan. There were conversations that I had had with friends that I understood their disheartenment, but I also understood, man, even in the circumstance, God is faithful. And so I wanted to start back potting just along these lines. If we look at scripture, every time we see the faithfulness of God, we see it the most when things go not according to plan. Right. I was thinking about David and the Amalekites, and how it wasn't until, like, what happens in the story is David's family is taken away. And it wasn't until he paused and prayed, because his friends that had gone to war with him, his man at arms, they were getting agitated, they were getting frustrated, they were tired, they were hungry, and they were probably coming home with this certain expectation of how things were going to go. And then they came to realize, oh my goodness, our whole families have been taken from us, right? Everything is gone. Everything that we loved, everything that we prized was gone. And what were we doing during this time frame? We were out to war for our leader, David. And so immediately, of course, who gets the blame? David gets the blame, because it all falls downhill, unfortunately, both in corporate and sometimes in church life. And what ends up happening is David has enough wisdom within himself to be like, man, I could go after these folks, but I need to know if I go after the folks that have taken something, not only from me, but my comrades, right? I have to know, God, you're going to be with me. And in that moment, he pauses and he prays. And what I love about that text is when he pauses and prays and takes a minute to think, God tells him, hey, I'll go out to war with you. But sometimes, and I think that's what sometimes can be missed in life, is we pause and we pray and God simply says, no, this is within my will. You are exactly where I want you to be. And it is the one thing that is going to cause you to draw even closer to me. It's the one thing that's going to cause you to even be able to see things that you're doing very well, things that you're not. But what I had to come to grips with, and what I'm sure most of you guys have had to come to grips with, is being okay with being not okay, right? Because the scriptures say in our weakness, we're made strong. But if we're never put in a situation where we feel weak, we become overly confident. We become prideful. We become arrogant. We stop looking to God for every answer. We just look to him for some answers. And whether we realize or not, we treat God as if he's a genie in a bottle. Now, do I think for me personally, I had gotten to that point? Not quite yet, but I'm sure it was around the corner. But I think, too, one thing that is troubling, but also gracious, is we don't always know. There's three categories, I think, of friendships, right? We don't always know who falls into these three categories of friendship. And I call them, you know, and I've been reading about them, so I won't take full credit. They're in books like People Fueled, and preachers have talked about it. But what they're called is comrade, associate, confidant. And so a comrade is a person whom you have to understand they are just there for a common goal. And when you have that relationship in the right space, right, you're rarely surprised or hurt or caught off guard, right? An associate is usually just a person that you generally work with. You don't even know if you have the same goal. But a confidant, I truthfully believe that is the person that even in your worstest points in life will come back and simply help you to understand, hey, man, this sucks, but God is faithful. And this is an opportunity for you to now see the faithfulness of God that we may preach about as ministers of the gospel, that we disciple people on. But it is until it becomes personal that you live it out on a regular basis. Right. And so what I appreciate in this season is I got to actually see who some of those confidants were. And guys, I'm gonna be bluntly honest with you, because this is the real people portion of the Real God for Real People pod, right? There were some folks in this process that I really assumed were that confidant, who were telling me they were that confidant, who were in my corner for long periods of time, that utterly surprised me, that almost to the point made me feel like I was in a Saul David situation, right? In which I had to gain some understanding that, hey, let's start with me. Had I put this person in a place in which maybe I should have only put God, right? Had I been so vulnerable with these people that I left myself open for some type of humbling, I think is the best way to put it, right? In which God reminded me, hey, I am that supreme confidant in your life, right? I am the person that even when the person at 3 o'clock in the morning don't pick up, don't worry, I'm right there on speed dial. And there was some gratitude in that, right? But if I'm honest, right, like this whole theme we're talking about, man, life is tough, life is rough, but God is faithful. That thing hurt, y'all. I had to guard my heart for a period of time. And I even had to pause because I didn't know if I could fully trust my emotions at the time to say something that would build up the kingdom, right? For me, any person who's ever known me as an individual, I'm big on, hey, man, I don't want to cause strife. For the sake of peace, whatever I need to do to step back, I generally try to do. But in this season, I realized, man, have I simply placed other people in a place that only God should be in, right? From a place of influence, right? And we all, and I've been reading about this a lot, we all, whether we want to admit it or not, have these moments in which we fall into the temptation of people pleasing. Because no one doesn't want to be liked, guys. It's just the nature of life. But we all have to make sure we're balancing the being agreeable with people at the same time with prioritizing what God desires for our life first. And what I realized is when I got to the point of prioritizing what God desired for both my family, for our personal ministry, right? There was tension, right? There was even to the point, maybe even a little aggression, And I had to learn, hey, man, in this season, take it on the chin. Because we're not here to please man. We're here to please God. And at the end of the day, the Lord is the one who calls out people for the sake of ministry. Now, will I ever say, oh, man, walk into some calling because the Lord called you and you don't need anyone to affirm it? I don't know how biblical that is to not walk through some level of affirmation from the local church. But what I realized is, man, at the end of the day, are we loving people well enough to bring them in the door? And then when they're in the door, are we creating an environment in which they want to stay and build community? One of my mentors in the past would say, we're not like a family, we are a family. And as me and him continue to do ministry together in the past, I realized this was something he was growing at too, right? He wasn't always as comfortable just saying, hey man, you want to come over to the house? I would find out on the back end, and it would always be like assumptions. Hey man, I thought you was going to swing by. And I was like, no man, be honest, I just didn't know I was welcome. That's on me. But we built this brotherhood because I realized, hey, man, we aren't like a family. We are a family. But that's not always what every church desires, right? And another wise person that has been a mentor to me once told me as well, you have to allow others to lead based on their convictions. And so as you're moving into ministry of folks and you're finding many comrades, be sure that you line up ministry wise together. Right. Because if you don't, you can be bound for, excuse me, not only tension, but a clash at some point. And this is where the enemy at times gets a foothold in the lives of the local church, where he because of miscommunication sometimes, or just because of differences of opinion, we see that destruction finds its way in, division finds its way in. And man, that, I know that's not the desire of God's church, right? Nor of the body. The body is meant to bring people in. But if we really think about it, sometimes we're not attracting unbelievers because we're not making the Christian life look like something that's appealing to them. At most, it may feel at times like it's just a get out of hell free card. And that's not the ordinance or the desire of the church. The church is a body of believers coming together. In the first time frames of the early church, they weren't only coming together, they were living together, right? They shared all of their resources because they had realized that they're building a new subculture, even bigger than the ones that they came from and the ethnicities and the people groups that they came from. But when we don't see the local church doing this well, when we see the local church sometimes becoming too political or sometimes becoming divided on high level topics that have nothing to do with salvation, we see the world beginning to peel back or beginning to attack the church because we're not on the same page, which is once again that whole life is tough. The church ministry can be tough. People business can be tough, but God is faithful. I think for me, what I had to realize for myself is, Shad, do you see in this season where God has been faithful to you and your family? Yes. Okay. Do you see where he's provided for you and your family? Yes. And then lastly, do you see the distractions he may have been pulling you away from? Sometimes we can find ourselves doing the right thing, but it's not necessarily doing the thing God's called you to do. Meaning you can be doing the right thing, but it will never go well if God hasn't called you to do it in the place where you're at. And so for me, there was a period of time where there was some resentment in my heart, if I'm honest. And I had to ask the Lord to kind of show me the things that I've been missing, both in ministry, both at home, both in my work life. And one of the things that I realized that he was showing me that I was missing is I had become distracted, right? with a desire to please certain people, because I treated ministry for a while kind of like I treated corporate when I did corporate for some time. And I had missed some phenomenal opportunities with my family to be a good dad, right? And also, I had missed some opportunities to simply bring clarity, which is I am always going to be a person who wants to bring in and draw to unbelievers. And if I'm ever at a place where that's not one of the primary goals, there's a phrase another mentor talked to me about, which is, hey, we're not going to necessarily kick anyone off the bus that doesn't align to the direction we're going to go. We'll stop. But at a certain point, we have to keep going. And I think for me, I had to come to a realization, man, am I on the wrong bus? It's okay. There is no loss of time or experience in God's kingdom. But what I have to come to grips with is a closed door is a closed door, guys. A lot of folks in some closed doors struggled maybe with the most recent election. There is nothing outside of God's sovereignty. Even if we disagree, we understand we live in a broken world. And so understanding, even in that, wherever the elections landed, was still somewhere in God's sovereignty. And the Lord is able to use all people for his glory. But I think sometimes when we can allow not just politics, but differences of opinion to cause us to now have strife with our brother, we've moved past this life is rough, life is tough, God is faithful. And we moved into life is rough, life is tough. And man, now I'm going to give the enemy a win, right? I'm going to doubt for once God's faithfulness. I mean, that's just something in this season I don't want to do. And I realize I probably can't afford, right? If we're looking for hope outside of Christ, we never find it, because he is that true hope. He was the one that when the world was void, when there was darkness hovering over the face of the deep, he was the visualized and vocalized word of God that moved on the face of the earth and changed circumstances. And I think sometimes when we're in those spaces where life is rough and we're not actually listening for a word of God, either because it comes across too overly spiritual, or we assume we have everything in his scriptures that we need, right? And that he doesn't speak to us vocally anymore, we sometimes miss the mark. And I think there is a tension and a balance to yielding to the Holy Spirit when he says, hey, even in the storms, I'm with you. I will not forsake you, right? I think sometimes we don't feel the full epitome of who God is, because he both uses his scriptures and he uses his spirit to enlighten us to whom he is, to give us a light, even in the darkness, that causes the lost to come to us in faith. But it's not us. It's really Jesus speaking through us, right? And I'm so excited about what that looks like now. But I had to come to a grips that there is a living water in the midst of every dark time. And his name is Christ. He cares and he loves for us. And he is bigger than any specific church. He is the bridegroom of all of the churches. And the diversity of churches is not meant to be based purely on doctrine. But the diversity of the churches is meant to be a reflection of what heaven looks like. And if any church does not desire to have their ministry look like heaven, then man, I pray that the Lord continues to move in the midst of your church. Because to be honest with you, that's not what we see in scripture. And that's okay. But man, I wanted to close with this. Hey, life is tough, but God is faithful, because I think this was literally an anchor, if I was to say, or a parachute for me in a troubling time. And if I'm honest, guys, there were days where I just didn't really even have the motivation to get out of bed, right? But man, I'm so grateful that even in those darkest times, God sends a ram in the bush to encourage us in the midst of our darkness. You guys have heard me say this scripture plenty times over, and I'll say it until Jesus comes back. One of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah. I think it's around 43:2 when it says, "When you were in the waters, know I will be with you. When the rivers attempt to overtake you, they won't consume you. When you walk on literally burning coals, they won't burn you," right? And it literally says, "Because I ransomed myself," it says he ransomed Sheol, death itself, "for you," giving a alliteration to Christ, that God cared so much for us that he ransomed his son so that in our darkest moments, we have no barrier, whether that be church building, whether that be doctrine, whether that be denomination. We have no barrier that keeps us from him because we are now his temples. And we are meant to be a holy incense. And anything that takes us away from that is not of God, but it is of the devil. And man, so I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. And I hope to continue doing these soon. I'm going to get back to trying to pod every week again, because man, this is therapeutic for me. And I know if it's been enlightening, not just enlightening, but revealing of the spirit for me, I know that some of this has to be for somebody out there. So on the Real God Podcast, we want to talk about real problems that a real God deserves and desires to intervene, but also interject into. So if you have any feedback, you can leave some feedback on our Gmail. It's called realgod4realpeople@gmail.com. We also have Instagram as well. We'd love for you to follow, like, and subscribe. We're on just about every platform that gives you podcast accessibility. And man, I'm just so encouraged to be back in the room doing this with you guys. So I can't wait to talk to you soon, and see you next week.